to be forced to choose him. He didn't want to coerce you. If he gives you all of his glory and all of his goodness, you would be compelled in a way that wouldn't give you a true, honest relationship. That's what he wants. He created you for relationship, and he wants that. And in giving you freedom, this may sound crazy at first, but if you think about it, he can't give you freedom to do good without freedom also to not do good. And freedom to choose him and freedom to not choose him. So we live in a very complex world where we live in the consequences and the after effect of people's choices, including our own. And you heard people talk about the choices, and we've all made choices that we look back and regret, or we see how it's changed our lives, maybe in a negative way, but God restores those things. He takes us and restores. So the fact is, it's the very fact that he gave us free will, that the consequence of that is also evil in the world. What's sad, though, is when people point at God and blame him, and they forget that he is good, and the good gift he gives us for freedom can be used for evil. It's like any tool. Anything can be used for good or bad, depending on what our phones. You may think I'm doing that on purpose. I'm not. I'm not a ventriloquist. But think about things like our phones. They can be used for good or evil. You can do anything that way. And our freedom is the same way. So I want to encourage you with that. The other thing God does is he takes those difficulties and he works incredible goodness in our lives that could only be done that way. There's certain things in life you only learn when you walk through difficulty. It's just true. You don't really know what goodness is without having walked through difficulty. I mean, think about it. We had a couple days this week where it was super cloudy and misty. Remember that? Didn't you appreciate the sunshine a little bit more? When the sun finally broke through and you felt it and you thought, oh, this is beautiful. You wouldn't have that same experience or appreciation had you not been through the difficult. You know how it is when you walk from a cold outside and you come into a comforting and cozy room and you feel that better, different. But it's true with what we learn in life too. The difficulties teach us things that we can really only learn through those experiences. Walking through difficulty teaches us in a deep way. That's why James wrote it this way: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So after hearing that, how many want to have some trials? No, we don't look for that. We don't want it. But the fact is, we should, after going through it, understand, I'm going to learn some amazing things through this and embrace God and let him show you those things. Paul wrote it like this in Romans: we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. Character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us his Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Last week I talked about how God uses our pain. If you will let him heal you and then use those experiences to help other people. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, he comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. And then you become a wounded healer. Somebody who, I say it like this sometimes. Now don't be offended, but I say this sometimes. I don't trust people that don't have a limp. Because we all have it. You can act like you're perfect and got no problems. But you know, all God's children have problems. You know that. And the fact is, when you've been through difficult things, you are a more deep and a more mature and a more healthy person coming out the other side. And I want to end this series with this thought. It's a deep thought. God actually solves the problem of evil. I know that might sound funny. Wait a minute. It's a problem. Yeah, it's a problem and it's real. Because you all have to deal with it. I know one of the videos, she said, I just wondered why God was letting this happen. It's a good question, and it's a fair question, and God does not mind the question. In fact, you may not know this, but the psalmists often ask that question. It's okay to say, God, what are you doing? What is going on? What am I supposed to do with this? I can't believe this just happened. Want to hear something funny? I broke my foot today. jumping off the step. No, I didn't jump the whole way, but off that last step. So my prosthetic foot, I broke my heel. It just snapped off. Isn't that awesome? No, right? But you wonder, like, okay, really, today? We're going to Israel on Tuesday, right? It's not a big deal. I mean, it is, but I just walk on my, I walk on my ball of this foot instead of the, you try it. Can you try that the rest of the day? Walk on regular foot and then the ball of this foot. But seriously, stuff happens. Happens to everybody. I mean, I could be like, God, what are you thinking? Right? Or I could also realize that stuff happens all the time. You know, I mean, and this is really nothing. I mean, goodness gracious, it's nothing. But it's a problem, and we have to answer it. Can I throw something out there? Without God, how do you answer that? I mean, if you don't have God to fall back on, people say, you use God as a crutch. You know what I say? Yeah, I do. There's a lot of accusations, you know. Sometimes I just lean into it and say, yes, I do. And you need him too. And to act like you don't is just not true. I mean, and the fact is, if you think that there is no God, I'm happy to talk to you about that. And the fact is that a lot of people who deny that there is a God, this is the biggest reason. Because they say, well, if your God's true, then there should be no evil. And they blame him for all that. But let me ask you this. If you were one of those people and you want to say, okay, there's no God, I'll do this with them. I'll say, okay, there's no God. There's no God. There's no, and Christianity's not true. None of this is true. Will you still have evil? Will you? Yes. How do you answer it then? Why is there evil then? Because they want to blame a God they don't believe in. I get that. Because it's just a scapegoat. It's easy to do that. But the fact is, if there is no God and you take all of that away, you still have evil and you still have a problem. You still have a problem because you know deep down in your heart that the world is not right and things should not be this way. And then you have no solution and no answer. Purpose. How do you have purpose? How do you have meaning? How do you have any of that? You can blame God, but most evil, if we're really honest about it, is our fault. And it's the world and people in the world. And you can blame God all day long, but it's not really an answer there. And if you're going to be consistent and believe there is no purpose, no meaning in life, then your worldview is really dark. And then there's no justice. I mean, what God does is says, I will make things right in the end. What God does is say, there will be a punishment for those who do cruelty and are evil. You may not see it in this life, but there is justice. The fact that innocent people are caught in a war zone, nothing of their doing. The fact that babies die and there's abuse and death and darkness all over the place. I mean, everything is really hopeless if there's no God. If it's really survival of the fittest, then that just means that the fittest, the strongest, the most tyrannical rule the world, and that is it. And evil wins. You know deep in your heart that's not true. And it can't be true. So unsatisfying. It's so hopeless. That's why if you're going to be consistent, you have to agree. Famous atheist Dawkins, he wrote this. The universe we observe has precisely the properties we should expect. If there is, at bottom, no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. That's not the Christian worldview. Jesus solves the problem of evil. How did he do it? The first thing he did is he entered our world. He came into our pain. How many of you guys remember that song? It might be the 90s, I don't know, but remember that song, like, What If God Was One of Us? Right. Remember that? And it was such a sad, dark song. Remember the first time I heard it, and a lot of times, you know, you might like the tune or the singer or whatever, and you start listening to the words, and like, she's saying God is out there and doesn't care. That's what she's saying. It's the problem of evil. That song is about that. And I thought, no, you don't get it. He entered our world. The book of John, he writes it like this. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word, Jesus, became human and made his home among us. And he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we've seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only son. He didn't just come into our world. He suffered. He suffered with us. Philippians, Paul writes it like this: though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. The problem of evil is us and our sin, and Jesus is the answer to the problem. He not only entered our world, and he didn't have to, he wanted to. He didn't have to redeem us. He didn't owe us anything. He created us in a way that we had choices, but then when we fail, he comes and pays the price. And then what he does after that is he walks with us. Every one of these testimonies we heard today talked about how God has made a change in their life. Some of you probably been Christians a long time, and maybe you are already really good. That can be, right? You can be a pretty good person and then become a Christian, and maybe nobody notices. I don't know. Maybe you're that good. But for most of us, it's walking with Jesus that changes us. From deepest down attitudes and decisions we make, and the selfishness that's just normal humanity, where we want what we want, when we want, how we want it. And he walks with us. John 16:33, Jesus, these are Jesus' words. He says, I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I've overcome the world. We serve a God who literally entered our world, suffered and died for us, experiences our pain, and then walks with us through that. In the book of Hebrews, it says this: God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? And then, as we've already talked about, he redeems all of our pain and turns it into purpose. He gives us meaning to our lives that transcend whatever these momentary struggles that we have here on earth, you know, that whatever they are. We live for a world. Some of you probably already heard, but Al Hancock has been part of this church for a long time, but today he's with Jesus. He met Jesus face to face yesterday. 96-year-old man, served Jesus a long time, longer than a lot of us have been alive. He's been walking with Jesus, and now he's walking with Jesus. He lived for another world. We all do. It is when you come to Christ, you start now, and it lasts forever. There's a beauty in all of that. As you think about this, the enemy has come to destroy all of that. That's his purpose. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. You get to choose that, though. He still gives you the choice. You get to choose. Now, it doesn't mean that life's easy, peasy. I don't know what the rest of that is. Lemon squeezy. I don't know. Life's still difficult. You still got to deal with people and work out issues in marriage, and you break your foot. I mean, life's still life. But the difference is you don't walk it alone. The difference is you can be frustrated, but then when you call out, you serve a God who not only knows what you're walking through, but then will walk with you through it. And he will change you and grow you and develop you into somebody that's totally different. You can choose to embrace that God who heals. And by heal, I'm talking about heal you, heal your heart. I mean, the most important thing you need healed is your heart so that you walk and live with him forever. You know, Al, I remember when I met him, the first day I met him, he had a cast on his arm. I'm like, how did that happen? He's probably in his 80s, I don't even know. And he's like, oh, I was riding bike with my granddaughter and fell off my bike. What? Who does that in their 80s? Al did. But now he's got a perfectly perfect body. His last few years have been difficult, but now his body's perfect. We all will have that remade body. But what matters first is that heart, that the heart is changed. You can embrace that God who heals. Then he works through all of your troubles and makes you more like his son. God entered and experienced our pain. He solves the problem of evil. And he did it by sacrificing himself. He isn't distant in your pain. What if God was one of us? He was one of us. You missed the whole point. Not only was he one of us, but he died for us and then offers us new life in Christ. He chose to be human, live this human life. I mean, 100% God, 100% human. Walk through this in pain and struggle and paid the ultimate price. It really breaks my heart when I talk with a skeptic or an unbeliever because they don't have any hope. I mean, what can you hope for? That you'll be remembered after this life? Have you ever walked through a graveyard and seen the tombstones? That's it. Maybe they wrote a book. Maybe they did something that somebody will remember them. But that's not it. We don't live for this life. We live for the next. They still have the problem of evil. They still have to find it. With no justice, no hope, no meaning. But we have ultimate meaning. I'm going to ask you to do this with me for just a moment. I'm going to ask you to shut your eyes for just a second. I don't know who's here today. I know we have some visitors, family members, different people who maybe this isn't your normal church, or you maybe never been to church, or maybe you've been to church before. Maybe like some of the stories you heard in the testimonies for the baptisms, that maybe you had walked with Christ and maybe you walked away. Maybe there's a time where something came up and you got busy or were angry or whatever. That happens. It happens. One of the testimonies, he said, it's a roller coaster. Almost laughed out loud because life is like that. You're up, you're down, you're going fast, you're not. I think of it like this. Maybe if Jesus was in the room, you know, or with you, and you're thinking, maybe I've turned away from him or walking away or running or walking toward. It's all about the heart. I don't know if your heart's open today. Maybe something you've heard today. Maybe one of the jobs that the Holy Spirit has is he convicts us. He works in our conscience and he's telling us. So you might be sitting here today and you might be feeling that and you might be feeling like, you know what? I do need to give my life to him. I need to change. Let me tell you, it may not happen overnight. It may. I've seen people change immediately. And then I've seen other people where it's a progress and they give one piece and then piece and a piece, and then they're fully surrendered. But I'm just curious if anybody in the room today would want to start that today. You can start it today. Anybody at all. We'll just pray with you. And it's a simple prayer. We'll just pray. Simple prayer of acknowledging the fact that you need him and you want him and you need forgiveness and you can start that life today. Anybody at all, if you just raise your hand really quick, we'll pray with you. Anybody at all. Do you see that hand in the back there? I appreciate that honesty. Anybody, I see that hand in the front. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody at all? I hesitate because it's the most important decision of your life. I was talking with a lady a couple years ago. And she was kind of rejecting Christ. And I just said, are you sure? This is eternity. This is not what color are you going to paint your house? This is everything. Anybody at all? Anybody else? Okay, I see that hand. I appreciate it. Thank you. All right. We're going to pray together as a group. I'm going to lead you in a prayer and just have you repeat after me. And those of you who raised your hands, if you would just mean it with all your heart. If you're watching online, you can pray with us. God's not limited by space and time. But I also want to keep this in mind. And after I pray for people to accept Christ, I'm going to pray for us. I don't know where you are in your walk with Christ. I don't know if you've maybe pushed him away, but you're still a believer. It's just maybe it's been difficult and maybe some things have come up and you've been angry, and that's okay. What I'm going to encourage you to do, even challenge you to do, is to open your heart to him in a new way and embrace whatever it is you're walking through and say, God, I need you to walk through this with me. I need you. I need you in the middle of this. I promise you, he'll respond to you. I promise you, it's what he does. It's who he is. So let's do this. If you would just stand with me. We always want to give opportunity for people, if you need prayer of any kind, physical healing, emotional, maybe psychological, maybe relationship, financial. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You want more of God. We have people that are going to come down front here and pray with you. And you're welcome to slip out of wherever you are as I close this service in prayer. But those people are gonna come down and they are here to pray with you. But I wanna lead us all. First of all, in that prayer for salvation. And secondly, just prayer for us. So if you would, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, and those of you who raised your hand, if you would just especially mean this, I just want you to repeat this after me as we pray. Father God, I know I'm a sinner. Done things that are wrong. Sorry for that. I need you. I need your forgiveness. I want to follow you with my whole heart. I give myself to you. Come in and make me new. In Jesus' name. And now let me just pray for all of us. Father, I lift up everyone in this room, everyone who's watching online. I pray in the name of Jesus for all of us, that you would help us as we walk through difficulty, as things come up in our lives where we struggle and we're curious and we have questions and we're, God, I just pray you would help us as we look toward you and embrace you in that time. And I pray, God, that you would, as each one in this room in their own way, as they cry out to you and maybe as they're reading your word, that it would just become alive. And as they're praying to you, that you would just surround them with your presence in a way that they would just be totally different. And that they would feel that presence, your presence. And I pray, God, that you would intervene in these situations. And that as you walk us through these difficult things, that you would teach us things that we couldn't learn any other way. God, we love you and we thank you for all of that. And we give you praise today in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you head out of here. Be sure to just maybe talk to some of those who got baptized, just encourage them. Greet some people. There's people maybe you've never met. Just tell them your name and tell them you're glad to see them today. Be encouraged as you head out into this world.